All right, we're going to let the ushers finish with your generous giving. No pastor minds a long offering, so we're fine. Hey, just want to make you aware of a couple of things while we have a moment. This coming Saturday at 9 a.m. right here in our Brighton Heights campus of Bridge City, we're doing a Brighton Heights leaders meeting. You know, if you're a leader here in the campus, you know, we come out. But that's open to anybody. If you want to come out, you want to see, you want to hear a little bit what's going on and what do we see God speaking, that is open. Open that for me. Okay, thank you. I'm a needy guy here. Thank you. All right. I feel so needy saying that, actually. But if you have that opportunity, if you want to come out, you want to know what's going on, you want to say, okay, I want to hear how do leaders think, right? What are we thinking? That's a great opportunity to come out. There's no sign-ups because we ain't feeding you, okay? So just come on out. And again, if it gives you opportunity here. Amen. God is so good. Just out of generosity, too, just want to share with you. Some of you recall right before Christmas, we had a couple of missionaries here stopping in from Guatemala. We had Wesley and Katie Sanchez, who we support as a church family down in Guatemala. They've been ministering there for some time. And we were able to bless them with $10,000 additional dollars to get their vehicle on the road. And again, that's why we were able to do that, because of people's generosity. That's why. We're able to help them accomplish a mission of reaching lost people and establishing leaders. Why? Because we give. Amen? So again, just vision. Always remember, everything's about vision. That's what we live for. Bless God. First things first. First things first. Let's read this scripture coming right out of the box. Matthew chapter 18. And we're reading out of the English Standard Version. It says, "Then Peter came up and said to him," to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times." And with that, I just want to welcome you to the third part of our First Things First series, where we're looking at the characteristics that should be foundational to every follower of Jesus. Why should they be foundational? Because these are the things that if you get into your life, into your daily life, putting these first things first, if you do this, you are going to walk in peace of mind, which every one of us longs for. Peace of mind, no matter what's going on in life. It gives us confidence. It'll give you confidence in life. It'll give you a purpose, not just to live for, but a purpose you're willing to die for. Something to die for, literally. Okay, and that's what he said. In other words, he says, you've got freedom. I want you to be free, is the cry of Jesus Christ. It's the cry of your Heavenly Father, right? And this is the road. These are the things that should be first, the characteristics that should be first in our lives if you want to walk in freedom. I want to walk in freedom. Amen? You want to walk in freedom. So that's why we're speaking of these things, being reminded of these characteristics. So again, think about it. First things first. So what would happen if our first inclinations were to repent in our lives when we know we have done wrong? That's what we spoke about a couple weeks ago. How could life change if I was quick to acknowledge my wrong before God? And what would happen if one of the first things I would do when faced with any issue is pray, to be one who prays? And I hope this past week you practice praying first, praying before you responded, praying before you picked up the phone, right? Praying before you make a decision, right? Because life can change if we remember that He is right there and longing to speak to us. And today we add to that forgiveness. You know, again, what would life look like if when you're offended, your inclination is to forgive and release instead of defend yourself? How could life change if we did that? Now, we all agree that we should be quick to forgive, right? There's nobody here that says, no, forgiveness is a bad thing. But we have to be honest that there are some real obstacles to forgiveness, to forgiving people. The first one being that I'm right and you're wrong. Okay, that's a problem. I'm right, you're wrong. I mean, that's a problem that we have. Another is we feel they deserve some wrath. They deserve it. After what they did, they deserve to be put on the hot spot for a while. And some of us know that we've actually said that to people. We've actually told them, I'm not, or you've told others, I'm not forgiven Leanne yet. No, I'm going to let her just stew there. Let her just stay there, right? You don't have to raise your hand. Your face to say it all. Okay. I would forgive them, but I've forgiven them before and they do it again. That's an obstacle to forgiveness. How about you don't know how much they hurt me? You don't understand how much they hurt me. I'm not going to do it. And another one is just people frustrate you. People frustrate you. Some of you have been known to say they frustrate the hell out of me, right? Now, let's just get that square though. They do not frustrate the hell out of you. They actually frustrate hell into you, okay? The hell gets into you when you don't forgive. It doesn't come out, okay? So I just wanted to help you out today, okay? If you get nothing else today, there's your tweetable moment, okay? What'd Pastor say? Let's just forget that. All right, let's go back. Okay, but he said, but what's the result if we don't forgive? If we do not forgive, what's the result? Well, one thing is it's a self-inflicted wound. You know, it's like, you know, at times some of you have broken a bone through nobody else's fault. You just did it all by yourself, right? You created a fracture. Well, when you don't forgive, you fractured yourself. You're fractured. See, but you don't just fracture yourself. You know, you also fracture relationships when you don't forgive. Families are fractured by unforgiveness. Churches are fractured by unforgiveness. See, forgiveness goes way beyond you. It affects other people. And listen, we got to learn to forgive because offenses will continue to happen. You're going to continue to be offended at various times throughout life. Most of us are basically offended various times throughout the day, right? And listen, that's just what life is. That's just what life is. You know, if you're not going to be offended, that means everybody thinks just like you. How sick would that be, right? I don't want everybody thinking like me, okay? Right, right, lady? You want everybody thinking like me? She says, heaven no, right? if people are using their minds and we're having real discussions, there's going to be some offenses. You can't stop them. Right? Offenses are going to happen, so we need to learn how to forgive. So today, first things first, a characteristic we want to talk about is forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. God, we thank you for your presence among us already. Holy Spirit, asking you, Father, to come and speak. You use me, this broken vessel, Father God, to speak life, Lord, that we could see our own blind spots when it comes to forgiveness, that we all could walk in the freedom of life that you have for every one of your sons and daughters, that we'd hear you more clearly, we'd walk in greater confidence, walk with greater boldness. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. See, if we practice forgiveness, it sets us free. It sets us free spiritually, mentally, and physically. There's physical issues. How does it set you free mentally? Well, you know how unforgiveness dominates your mind. You know, when you have an offense, when someone's offended you, and you're holding something on them, that dominates your mind. And you say, well, nope, I put them out and I forget about them. But this is how you know you still have an issue. When their name is mentioned, what's your first thought? Is it positive? Right? See, so you know, so the thing is, you're tormented. There's a torment that goes on mentally. There's something mentally going on. And physically, this is from the University of Pennsylvania. It talks about unforgiveness and bitterness. It says, those who walk in bitterness, they say they have increased anxiety, greater levels of depression, elevated blood pressure. They have vascular resistance. In other words, it's not good for your veins and arteries. Decreased immune response. These are things that happen when you hold on to unforgiveness and you allow bitterness to take a root inside of you, let alone what it does to us spiritually. You know, when you don't forgive, it sets a roadblock between you and God. It sets a roadblock between his spirit being able to move freely to you and, of course, through you. Most of us recall where Jesus actually made the statement. He said, if you don't forgive others, I can't forgive you. That's pretty serious, right? I mean, there's something that happens in the spiritual realm. There's a roadblock that goes up if we don't release people from offenses. We don't have a choice in the matter. I want to live in freedom. You want to live in freedom. We want to live in freedom. Therefore, we want to be set free from these things. We are going to learn to walk in repentance, in prayer, and in forgiveness itself. Let's go back to that scripture here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, where it says, Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? And I forgive him, as many as seven times. And Jesus says, not seven, 77, right? Now, it was taught, the Jewish teaching was that you forgave somebody three times, okay? It doesn't really say what you do on the fourth, but obviously they followed the law. Three times you were to forgive. So if you think about Peter, as he's asking, if you're, well, I'm going to double what the Pharisees say and add one. Sounds like a pretty good bet, right? But Jesus just blew that out of the water and gave him a number that nobody would even think of and said 77. Now, so again, many Bibles say 70 times 7. Okay, but the point is, you're not allowed to tally how many times you forgive somebody. If you're keeping count, you got a problem. All right, because the point here is that he's just given a number saying, look, forgiveness is not something that you do. It's something that you stand in. It's not measured. It's something I stand in. I stand in a posture of forgiveness when I'm offended. That's where I live. That's where I want to live in my life. There's this quote here by Martin Luther King. Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It's a constant attitude. Think about that. Take a picture of that one. That's a good one. Okay, forgiveness is not an occasional act. Okay, no, it's where I have to live here. I have to live here because in our culture, we are definitely in a state of microaggression, aren't we? Where people get hurt over the littlest thing, over the littlest thing. I heard a quote yesterday. It said, in America right now, we're emotional hemophiliacs. The littlest cut and we bleed to death, okay? We're so hurt emotionally, right? Man, so we have to walk in this. We need to be the example to the culture of who Jesus is, right? And again, so I want to live in that constant attitude of being quick to release people. Man, see, I don't want to count. I don't want to count offenses. My human nature wants to count how many times you hurt me. Okay? Listen, some of you have amazing memories when it comes to when you've been hurt. Right? I mean, some of you spouses use it on each other. Oh, yeah, well, do you remember when? And you're like, what? What are you talking about? Well, there was last Thursday, and then there was Saturday, and they remember them all. If you could only remember scripture like that, right? Your life could change. But man, we keep track of offenses. That's human nature. That's human nature that does that. That's not the spirit man that you now are. Amen? You're something bigger in the spirit of God. So God help us here. Just think what would happen in relationships. Again, if we did not count wrong suffered. There's a scripture out of Corinthians in chapter 13. It's used a lot at weddings. And it says in verse 5, it says, love does not count a wrong suffered. Like, love doesn't notice. It chooses not to count wrongs. And that preaches so well at a wedding. I've done it many times. But I know what happens about 2 months later, okay? All of a sudden, we're counting them. But how could life change, man, if we don't keep track of offenses? We don't keep track of all the hurts and the problems and of the past. Usually, so often in marriages, but not just marriages, but even relationships, if there's chronic issues, they're really not new problems and new sins. There's just unforgiveness from past sin. There's unforgiveness. And what to do? It poisons us. I mean, think about it. When you think about it, unforgiveness is the root of most long-standing relationship issues, whether it be family, work, church, doesn't matter. Long-standing relationship issues are typically built on unforgiveness, not walking the way Jesus told us to. And as we had already said, you better learn how to forgive because you're going to be offended. You're going to be offended. Some of you were already offended today. I won't get into it. You know what it is, and the list is so long, we don't have time. So again, we can't control offense, but we can control our response. So Jesus was saying here, we're to live with forgiveness as the primary principle when we're offended. Forgiveness should be first. Forgiveness should be first. Now, how are we supposed to do this? Jesus, after he made this statement to Peter, gave them a word picture, a parable, to show them what he meant when what he was speaking. And he tells this story beginning in verse 23. He says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made." And that was legal. That was legal. That would be legal to be done. Now, I want you to catch the first line. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven. We talked about last week about seeking first the kingdom. Okay, it's talking about kingdom rule. Okay, the kingdom of heaven, the right way to live is in the kingdom of God. So what, again, we're to seek first God and his righteousness. Okay, so right here, in the word picture, he says the king, the master, is calling together his servants, and he wants them to give an account, and there's somebody that owes 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. There's 6,000 denarii, which is a day's wage in one talent. So literally, when you figure this out, it'd be like billions of dollars today. Billions. It's an insurmountable enough of amount of money. Nobody would be able to take care of this. For someone to be in that much debt, they did some bad things. They were nefarious in some ways. I mean, they'd be like Bernie Madoff and Sam Bankman-Fried combined. They've cheated. Everybody knows they would need judged. Anybody that's ran up that type of a debt didn't do it legally. And of course, in the word picture, Jesus is the master. He is the master, right? And we're the servant. And you and I have a debt we can't pay. Okay? Again, here's the thing we have to remember. Your sin is astronomical. And one of the issues we have, particularly, I believe, even as we come to Jesus, is we don't realize how rebellious we have been towards God. I mean, every time you had the wrong intention in what you did, every time you didn't do what you know you were supposed to do, right? Every time you were thoughtless, every time you did those things, all those are counted. See, we are all notorious sinners, every one of us. Some people have done more destructive sins to themselves and to their families, but every one of us is a notorious sinner. Every one of us has a debt we cannot pay. Say ouch or amen, one of those two. I mean, that's what we have to catch. Okay, verse 25 makes clear, he could not pay it. And catch too, who does that sin affect? It doesn't just affect him. It says he, his wife, and his children are all going to be sold into slavery. Right? And that was the proper thing to do. Okay, because of my behavior and my rebellion against God, even since I've crossed that bridge, man, that affects, without the blood of Jesus, my behavior affects those around me. It affects those. And God, just help us catch that reality. Verse 26. "So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me. I'll pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him, forgave him the debt." Okay, Jesus releases. Amen? Aren't you glad? He released you from your debt that you could not pay. There's no way you could ever pay it. And he says, "Quentin, I forgive you. I forgive you. I release you with no strings attached." And you see, think about that. God doesn't put stipulations on it. Doesn't put stipulations. He releases. The master shows mercy. And again, what's mercy? Mercy's not getting what you deserve. And none of us are getting what we deserve. None of us. Thank you. Thank you, God. You know, some of you have encountered people, you ask them how they're doing, and they say, "Better than I deserve." Right? Again, that's a great statement. I think it's a great way to greet people. You ask me how I'm doing, better than I deserve. But what do I mean if I say that? I am saying better than I deserve because I deserve to be judged. I deserve hell itself. I am not a good person. I am only good because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Only because I've been washed by him and he paid such a price. He paid the debt. All right. So again, God, help us catch the moment. Catch it here. So Jesus forgives him. You know, the story would be so good if it stopped right here. Wouldn't it be good? God has just forgiven him. He is set free. He joins Bridge City Church family, starts a ministry, loves people. But the story doesn't end there. It has to go forward with a but, Let's go forward here. Verse 28. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, I will pay you. He refused and went out and put him in prison until he could pay the debt. So the servant who was paid forgiven $1 billion, wants to hold someone accountable who owes thousands. We got a problem here, don't we? He doesn't take the man by the hand. He doesn't respond to his plead for mercy, all right? Instead of giving him a hand, he takes him by the throat, all right? The scripture actually says it. It says that he chokes him, right? He grabbed him by the throat. He chokes him, right? Again, he's putting stipulations on his forgiveness, isn't he? All right? See, unforgiveness chokes the life out of people. When you don't forgive, when you hold that over somebody, you're literally choking life out of them. And some of us have again, proudly and unabashedly held unforgiveness over people's heads. Right? And you pay a price for that. Yeah, you have them in a prison, but actually you're in a worse prison. You're in a worse prison because unforgiveness puts you in a prison mentally, physically, and spiritually. God set us free. And just the whole aspect too that he says, he refused to do it. Verse 31, when his fellow servants saw that what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. They went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Let's just stop here real quick. This is no extra charge, but I just want you to consider for a second. Some of us have a tendency to take up other people's offenses. Someone else has been hurt and we hear about it and we take up their offense and we are angry too. We're angry too. See, the servants here, they heard about this, right? But I would say, listen, they're an example of what to do. They took the problem to the master and let it go, okay? Be careful about taking up other people's offenses, particularly in our culture. God, help us not be people so quick to do this. You know, because in our culture right now and with media and with the tension throughout the culture, it's so easy for us to actually judge people that we never met, never really listened fully to what they've ever said, and we dislike them and hold a judgment against them. And we know nothing about them other than what somebody else said. Right? So again, take that. Okay, don't take up those offenses. So one thing I believe God wants us to see is this unforgiveness at times is in us and we don't even realize it. You know, if you hate someone because they're conservative or you hate someone because they're liberal, you got a problem. Okay, that's unforgiveness. You got to process that. You must deal with that. Okay, so back to the story. These guys did it right. Take it to Jesus. Take it to the master. Let him deal with it. Verse 33. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. So Jesus says, go to prison. All right, what's the prison that we get thrown into? Well, you get thrown into that mental prison, that physical prison, and that spiritual prison. Okay, you can't expect the blessing of God if you're holding unforgiveness over people's head. So again, catch the simplicity of this, of forgiveness. Don't give yourself any slack here, all right? There's no way you and I can justify unforgiveness towards somebody. I can never justify it by, as I look at Jesus' words here. Catch how profound this is. I have been forgiven so much, I forgive. That's simple. Why do I forgive? Why I believe I forgive really quick. I don't have an issue with it. Why? Because I know what I deserve. I know how much I've been forgiven. And if you read the Apostle Paul, I believe you catch that same spirit. You know, quick to forgive. You know, Jesus removes all our justifications of living with judgments or unforgiveness towards other people, right? And again, remember, God does not put stipulations on forgiveness either. No stipulations. He releases. That's the example that we have. Man, God, help us. Help us to catch this. No more holding over people. I'll forgive them when they ask forgiveness. You really, that's not a prerequisite? No, I forgive them as soon as I've been offended. That's a choice that I make. They don't have to come and beg. I'm going to release them. They don't have to show me the fruit of change before I forgive them. No, I am going to release them. Jesus forgives me. Jesus forgives you the moment you sincerely come before him and say, God, forgive me. Help me change. He doesn't hold that over your head. Catch that. Catch that reality. You don't have to pay me back before I forgive you. That's not the way we look at life. So again, God, help us catch the magnitude here. You know, forgiveness too, though, it is a choice. It's a choice to release someone from an offense or debt, refusing to enact the penalty. Okay, and I believe it quite often. It is very spiritual. Some of us have been hurt very, very deeply. The only way I forgive you is by focusing on Jesus and what he has done for me. Because in my mind, I can justify how I feel. And everybody will agree with you. It's like, man, no, this is a spiritual thing. I've got to look at what God sees, not me. Amen? Help me see it. Help me see it the right way. Unforgiveness, refusing to let go or excuse a debt owed by another. And just catch this scripture out of Proverbs. An offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. Okay, again, it's like prisons. You know, arguments separate friends. It's like we put people in prison when we choose to live this way. God, help us. Help us not be building walls. So, what to do when you're offended? Okay, and again, as we've stated, it's not a matter of when you get offended. It's just a matter of how many times. Okay, it's not a matter of if you're going to be offended. And no, we could pray that you all have opportunity to practice this today too, if you wish, okay? Some things you don't have to pray for, they'll just happen. So that we don't have to worry about that. Okay, what to do when you're offended? First is, again, as we say here, recall your own forgiveness from God. Recall it. Wait, why am I choosing to let this go? Because of that. Pray first. Right, again, I'm praying, God, I recognize how much I've been forgiven. Let me bring this to you. Give me your eyes. And then, listen, if you're offended, and if it's necessary, you need to go to the person. That's what the scripture teaches. We're going to show that scripture to you in a little bit here. Okay, but lead in forgiveness. Don't wait for the person to do something to earn it. You don't have to do that. All right, that's not necessary. You can be set free from your own prison by releasing people from that debt. Now, sins, again, these are signs that you know you've forgiven somebody. Okay, no, let's start first. Signs that you know you haven't forgiven them. Okay, because there's some people, again, we struggle with. Okay, it's not, you really haven't forgiven them if you say, you better not do it again. Okay, because listen, if you're putting a stipulation like you better not do it again, that's not freedom, that's probation. Okay, some of you know what that is, okay? It's probation. There's stipulations. There's no stipulations in God. When I forgive, I forgive. Jesus says, all the sins that you did, your attitude, even from the past 24 hours, when you come to him, Father, forgive me, help me change, he forgets it. He chooses to forget. All right, I got to choose the same thing in my life, okay? If you don't think they were sorry enough, I'm not going to forgive them. I would forgive them, but man, they really weren't. I wish they were more sorry. No, just forgive them. Just forgive them. That God will take care of them. You know you hadn't forgiven them if really you don't want them blessed. that you don't really, you really would like to see them kind of fail a little bit, right? Listen, if you get mad or jealous if they succeed in something, good sign that you haven't forgiven them. They're not forgiven. You don't want other people to like them, okay? I'm not saying anything bad about them, but I'm not saying anything good either. Why? Because I don't want people to like them. God, help us. You try to avoid them. I avoid them. Well, that's a sign. You really haven't let them go. Listen, forgiveness isn't just saying things, saying somebody's off the hook. It's from the heart. Right? That's what Jesus had spoken. He said, if you don't forgive people from the heart, from the heart. Okay, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. It says, the writer says, look after each other so none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Man, listen, this is what we do as a church family. We protect one another. We have to protect one another. Why? From roots of bitterness. Why? Because listen, man, roots of bitterness, seeds of bitterness can be thrown into your life, and before you know it, it's a full-grown plant. So what do? We have to help one another. We have to help one another. When someone is hurt and they come to you and they talk about how they've been devastated, certainly I am empathetic and I love them. But man, right on the heels of that is, okay, but we got to make sure we deal with this properly. Right? Because this will put you in prison. This will hurt you. It'll hurt those around you. Right? This is what family does. This is what we need to do. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit here. Right? We want the Holy Spirit to come, to happen and to move. You know, and with this, I just want to talk about connection groups for a moment. Okay, thankful. We got 7 groups that are going to be happening. Do you love me? Who's going to say no right now? See, when pastors do that, it's like, do you know you're being set up right now? Do you realize that? You're being set up. Okay. Listen, if you love me, show it by getting into a small group. Get into a group. Why? Because I want you to grow. I want you to be free. I want you to walk in freedom. I want you to walk in all that God has for you, because then you'll have something to share with the world and you can affect other people. You don't do that on your own. We need other people. We need other people that we are serving with, other people to encourage us and for us to speak life to other people. I want people to protect my field of my heart, and I want to help protect their field. So again, next couple of weeks you'll be hearing about this. They're going to begin the first week of February. Get into a group. Because man, we want to walk in the power and the blessing of unity. Amen? Okay, amen. All right, listen, some practical things here. I believe we want to know. You know, because most of us, look, it'd be much easier to forgive them if they'd ask forgiveness, all right, but they never apologize. Forgiveness is a choice. I choose to release people. I choose to do that, all right? It's about me being free, not them, okay? And again, I want you to think about this too. See, when I forgive someone, it doesn't mean they got away with something, okay? What I have done is turn them over to God. I've turned them over to the Lord. You know, God has said, look, don't take judgment into your own hands. He says, because I'm going to deal with them. See, we think people get away with stuff. No, they don't. No, they don't. You may not see the judgment, right? But God says he knows. See, so when you release them, again, they're not scot-free. No, they're not. They are in a prison, a mental, physical, and spiritual prison. All right, so again, so be set free from that. Be set free. Know that, okay? And again, what does forgiveness really mean? I mean, what does it mean to go on as if nothing happened? First, catch this. To go on as if, say, nothing happened does not mean that the relationship stays exactly the same. You establish new boundaries. Okay, there's a book called Boundaries. Recommend everybody read. It's a great read. All right, but what's that mean? I mean, look, if I'll pick on Quentin again. If Quentin has offended me and, you know, on 2, 3, 4, 5, how many times have you offended? I can't. I've lost count. No, I'm just, but listen, the point, I want you to catch this, because now I got to remember my point. God, help me. Boundaries. Oh, thank you. What I need to do, though, is I set up a new boundary. I still love Quentin, all right? But I'm not going to let him into here. I got a boundary. Okay, right now, again, this is where you're going to be. See, because I choose to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. But this is, catch this, healing is a process. Healing is a process. All right, healing from the hurt takes time. It's a process, all right? And trust is earned. See, so again, so it said, so I'm got a little boundary up, all right? I'm allowing myself to be healed, but trust is earned. So when we say releasing somebody has hurt you deeply, we're not saying just go back like nothing ever happened. Got that? We're not doing that. We're not just like nothing ever happened. No, something happened, okay? So I'm not going to trust you. You have to earn that, but you're totally free. You're totally free, and I'm gonna make sure I'm allowing the Holy Ghost to free me. Amen. Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. The scripture does tell. Jesus does instruct us where he says, look, if somebody has offended you, you need to go talk to them. Now, does this mean for every little microaggression? No. But if it's stuck here, you need to go talk to the person. That's what it says to do. All right, you need to go. Don't let the root of bitterness take hold of you. We want you to be set free, right? But the scripture Jesus taught us is this is the way you deal with these things. This is what you do, that you don't let that root spring up, and then you can walk in freedom and you can have peace of mind. You have peace of mind. Man, God wants us, longs for you and I to have peace of mind. You know, first of the year, if one of the things that comes into my mind first of the year is taxes are coming due. Not just my own, but our company. And I got to get everything together. I got to make sure the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. I haven't screwed up QuickBooks too bad this year. And I got to make sure that, again, that I don't have any wrong debts. I got to take care of those things. For you, you have to ask yourself, a great time to ask yourself, are your books out of balance? Are you holding debt on somebody that you need to forgive? Some of you today may have been convicted that I got somebody I had to go talk to because I offended them. All right, well, that may be necessary too. But the thing is, are you holding on to debt? Are you keeping people in jail? Are you keeping people in jail? Is there anyone that you haven't let go of? See, because we need to let people out of jail. We got to let them out. And just to help remind you of what that means, we have some get out of jail free cards for you, okay, that the ushers are going to hand out right now. And again, I encourage you to put these in your Bible, and as you open it, it reminds you, is there anybody I need to release, that I need to release from the prison I have them in? And of course, when you release them, who's really being released? You are. You're being released. All right? Again, this is to help you. This is just a reminder for you. We are not going to be people who hold people in judgment. We see what Jesus has taught, and we see the rewards that are available for us. Okay, so again, so what do we want to do today? We want to take an inventory of your own soul. Take an inventory. Said, just like you're preparing for taxes, I got to make sure everything's in a line. Make sure you're not holding an account against anyone. Right? And then, God, I want to have this. First things first in my life, I want to live with the inclination of forgiveness in my life. I want to be inclined. I am going to be quick to release. Right? And I know for many of us, there are some long-standing relationships that it is a challenge for you to forgive. It's a challenge. And some of you have had some traumatic moments. You don't have to stay there. Amen? You don't have to stay there. You can release people. So what we're going to do, listen. Let's all stand. And in this moment, I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. And then we're just going to sing a song. We're going to close with a song. But right now, I'm going to ask you, call to mind any relationship. Any relationship that, man, there's just still residue. Some of you are saying, man, I forgave this so many times. But again, if your first thoughts aren't positive, you haven't really released them. Your first thoughts of that person. So right now, again, just close your eyes because it helps you focus. And Father, we come before you. We come before you. And again, the altar is open if you want to come forward. We come before you. Father God, He knows you've been hurt. He knows you have been hurt. In fact, hurt isn't the right word for some of you. It's not even, it's not deep, it's not a strong enough word. You've been devastated, humiliated. It's a day to be set free. You don't have to go another day bound up by what someone else has done to you. The healing comes as we forgive. So again, just with your eyes closed, that person, release them. I release them. I release them from that judgment. I know they did this. I release them. It's a choice. And for some of us, God, I need healing. Well, if you need healing, you come up front immediately after this meeting. We got people praying. God, there's a healing as a process. And there's a reason you don't trust them. They don't deserve to be trusted. That gets earned. Release them right now. Release them.